and welcome to the On Iowa Politics podcast for Friday, December 24th, 2014. I'm Mike Weiser, State House Bureau Chief for Lee Enterprises. With me today are James Lynch, political writer for the Cedar Rapids Gazette.
Good morning.
We're welcoming Christina Krippis, political reporter for the Waterloo Courier.
Hello.
Hello. And Ed Tibbetts, political writer from the Quad City Times.
Hi, Mike.
Hello. You can find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to On Iowa Politics on iTunes. Today, we're going to talk about the caucuses, a rally for the renewable fuel standard, and a conversation about Hillary 2016. First up, Tuesday night was caucus night. Partisans and interested parties across the state headed to their local caucus sites for the midterms. The legislature had the day off, so lawmakers could stay in the districts and attend local caucuses. So while there wasn't much going on inside the Capitol, there was a lot of politicking happening elsewhere. Christina, Ed, and James, you all attended local gatherings. Let's start with Christina. Is it possible to read the tea leaves of the caucus, and what does it mean for either summer, for either the summer primary or the November election?
Well, I think it's probably a little hard to say as I attended the Democratic caucus here in Black Hawk County, and Anessa Katazovic really got her ground game going at that event. She received a standing ovation before she even got up, basically to speak. So here it was definitely an Anessa happy crowd, but because Democrats gathered all in the same place, there was also Dave O'Brien from Cedar Rapids and Pat Murphy from Dubuque came to the event and were fairly well received. But Anessa Katazovic really really outshined them. But she's a hometown girl.
And Anessa, she's one of let's see, there's Anessa, Pat, Dave, Monica Vernon, Swati Dhanasar, am I missing anybody else? All those are people running for the nomination for the first congressional district Democratic nomination. James, that covers your area too. Were you with Democrats or Republicans?
I managed to hit both a Republican caucus and a Democratic caucus. In Linn County, the Republicans had a unified caucus where they were all together at one convention center, which attracted all but one of the U.S. Senate candidates, the Republican Senate candidates. They, any chance to get in front of a large crowd, and they showed up. They were, I guess, well-received. There were also the Republican congressional candidates were there. At the Democratic caucus, Monica Vernon spoke, and then I guess later, after I had left, Swati Dhanasar showed up and also spoke, but I think a lot of people had gone home by the time she arrived. Excitement level, I would say, is modest. I think people, in a way, it's hard to judge because the people who show up for caucuses are the people who are excited by the process and probably not a good gauge of the party and community at large.
Hey, Ed, last week we were talking, you were particularly interested in turnout among the Democrats. I think you were up in Bettendorf this week or on Tuesday. Do you have any figures or what you were watching? Do you have figures on how that turned out, or do we still have to wait for some more stuff to figure out what you wanted to find out from the caucuses?
Well, there are a couple of things that I took away from the caucuses in Scott County. The Democrats definitely had a far better turnout than they did 3 years ago. You can divine from that whatever you will. But where they turned out maybe 85 people 4 years ago, it well exceeded 200 this time. There was solid Republican attendance. I don't have exact figures on both of the parties. But I would agree with James. I saw moderate enthusiasm for the election, as moderate as you can, or as excited, I suppose, as you can get 10 months out on a night where it was freezing cold. Marionette Miller Meek showed up at the Republican caucus over in Bettendorf. I expect her to make an official announcement about her candidacy relatively soon for the Republican nomination for the 2nd District congressional seat. I would say a solid kickoff to the 2014 election season for the most committed of activists who are in Scott County.
And over in that 2nd district, correct me if I'm wrong, you already have at least one announced Republican, State Representative Mark Loughran, and the only Democrat so far is incumbent Dave Loebsack, correct? Or is there somebody else out there?
No, Dave Loebsack is the only one that I'm aware of, and he was at the Scott County Democratic Caucus to talk to folks there. He has always, ever since the 2nd District included Scott Clinton County since being redistricted, he has always paid a lot of attention to Scott County, and he continues to do so.
Excellent. Next up, the renewable fuel standard. This is a federal regulation requiring a certain amount of biofuels to be part of the national transportation supply. Ag state lawmakers and biofuel producers are up in arms over proposed regulations that reduce the amount required by at least 3 billion gallons. Public comment on the proposed rules ends next week. On Thursday, Governor Terry Brandt and another top lawmakers held a rally in Des Moines to, quote, defend the RFS, end quote. From what they say is an attack by oil companies. Ed Tibbetts, talk to me about the oil industry's efforts to try and roll back the RFS and what's been happening lately.
Well, I guess I would say that big oil, to use the favorite term here in ethanol land, does have it out for the renewable fuel standard, and they've had some successes. EPA, for the first time, has proposed rolling back the required volume amounts, and on Thursday, the petroleum industry was successful in getting the EPA to set a new review process for the required volume amounts for cellulosic biofuels not for 2014, but for 2013. Those targets have to be met by this June, but it's still called the 2013 standard. And so there have been some victories on the part of big oil. And there also is a bill in Congress that would end the mandate for corn-based ethanol. And I think that people in the oil industry would like to see that go further. And the ethanol industry is not only fighting the EPA, but I think they also know that they've got some detractors in Congress and have to work on that as well.
So there's a certain amount of irony in this, in that you have folks like Governor Terry Branstad and some other farm state governors who normally don't want any federal interference in their states, now calling on the federal government to either maintain or raise the standard so that more ethanol is required. It's one of those things that politicians really can't explain when they take a position like that. But the obvious explanation is that they're sticking up for their home state industries here in Iowa, where we have at least a couple dozen or more biofuels plants, and the danger they claim is that if this renewable fuel standard is eliminated or reduced, these plants go away, the jobs go away, the markets for corn go away, and Governor Branstad has talked about a return to the farm crisis of the 1980s, which seems a bit harsh, but perhaps we would definitely feel the pinch in the Iowa economy.
James, if I might pick up on that, you've seen wildly diverging claims on what the economic impact of this new rule from the EPA would be. As you mentioned, Governor Branstad and folks in Iowa talk about a devastating impact to the Iowa economy. You hear the oil industry talking about the RFS costing jobs nationwide. I'll be very interested to see when the EPA comes out with its final rule what they deem to be the projected economic impact. Their proposed rule didn't have that sort of forecast in there, so I'd be very interested to see what they project this impact will be. And frankly, I'll be interested to see whether President Obama steps into this debate. Senator Grassley suggested earlier this week that he should do so, and we'll see if it happens.
Don't you think, though, and this is an EPA rule, an executive branch of the federal government. Do you think they could propose these rules without at least a sort of sly wink and the nod? If they knew the president was going to reject them outright, don't you think this is kind of already paved, or am I just being too cynical here?
Well, I guess I don't know what the odds are on proposed rules being revised. I suppose, as with any political matter, if enough pressure is brought to bear, there can be changes.
All right. And lastly, gearing up for 2016, James Lynch, you spent some time this week talking to State Rep Tyler Olson of Cedar Rapids. Olson dropped out of the race for governor in December, but he still obviously has a taste for politics. He's hosting a Ready for Hillary gathering at the end of the month. You pointed out in your article that this is significant because Olson was already a backer, was an early backer of Obama in 2008. Do you take this as a sign of Clinton inevitability?
Well, it's only inevitable if she decides to run, and she hasn't said whether she'll run or not, but boy, she's giving every indication that she's amassing a campaign. The Priorities USA, the group that was really responsible for much of the Obama campaign, has pivoted to Hillary Clinton. She's touring California in the near future. She seems to be avoiding Iowa, but it's certainly looking a lot like Hillary is going to run in 2016. And I think Democrats are hoping she does and getting ready for her.
Christina, you had mentioned that you were out at the Democratic caucuses in Black Hawk County. Any presidential talk, or were they solely focusing on local races?
You know, they were really focused on 2014. Bruce Braley, who's running for the United States Senate, is also local, and he was another one of those popular people. So I think the focus was really on keeping the United States Senate in the blue category. So I didn't even see buttons or pins or anything like that that would signify that they were thinking about 2016 yet.
And Ed, what about along the Mississippi? Is there any organizing for presidents? I was talking to State Representative Mary Wolf yesterday, who's from Clinton County, just north of you in the Quad Cities. And she said, you know, she hadn't heard that Hillary Clinton, that Tyler Olson had started this meeting for Hillary Clinton. And she was, surprised, but not in a bad way. And she said, well, that's interesting. She was also one of the early backers of Tyler Olson's run for governor. She said, she told me early last year that she was on Team Tyler and ready to go. What do you see out there along the Mississippi? Anything for a presidential campaign? Nascent presidential campaign in 2016 yet?
Well, I certainly don't see any organizing. I mean, I think as with anybody else who's interested in politics, there's a certain level of interest. In terms of of caucus activity, I think people would probably expect that as this year goes on and the 2014 races, particularly the Senate race, heat up, that might be the time for folks who are interested in running to come out and lend their support to candidates. That's when I would expect that, and that would likely be later in the year.
All right. Well, that's it for today's On Iowa Politics podcast. I hope it was worth your time. Thanks for listening. If you like the show, tell a friend and subscribe to us on iTunes. It'll help more people find the podcast. You can find us every week on the homepages of the Quad City Times, Sioux City Journal, Muscatine Journal, Mason City Globe Gazette, Waterloo Courier, and the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Milk and Eggs, an Iowa folk group, check us out. If you want a band or know a talented Iowa musician who should be on our show, drop us a line, or better yet, a sound file. And remember, follow us on Twitter and subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher. For James, Ed, Christina, and producer Max, I'm Mike Weiser. Thanks for listening.
There's a hole in your heart, and you want to fill it so bad. Every time you fall asleep, you cry. So you better take your mind and put it somewhere else for a while, for you fall down all bitter and die. Fall down all bitter and die before you fall down bitter and die. Yeah, you better take your mind and put it somewhere else for a while, for you fall down all